Okay, Adam, so this week you have to bongo your way through the Everwood theme song.
How do I do that?
I don't know. Fucking do it. Out. You've
it's
got to
turn out better than last week.
Yeah, what happened?
How do you do a bongo sound with your mouth? Ew, no. That's awful. I hate that sound. I think the problem is that the end credits keep getting in my head. I just have to prepare.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Do 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 do. Do, do, do. Is it too low?
You keep, like, it's so strange. There's something about, you used to go, yeah, see, there you go. That was, no. You're skipping a couple notes. It's weird. Every time, this is the same thing as last week. It always goes do, 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 or do, do, do. Like, whatever it is, it has to be one after another. But you keep going do, do, do. Like, you keep changing to a different
something
situation. I don't know the musical terms.
Oh, their musical situation. All right. I really should just have it queued up for myself. But instead, I insist on doing it just a cappella every time.
You've done it so many times.
Yeah.
I know the theme more from you than I do from watching what we've watched so far.
Definitely.
It's just, but the end credits fuck me up.
I'm so sorry. Let's play the beginning of it for him.
Well, that's what, well, he can't
Or
hear
you
us.
Play the beginning of it for yourself.
That's what he was saying. He should have
no, I got this. I have to have it. Hold
okay.
on.
Okay. All right. I'm here. We're ready. We're listening.
This is like 80% of your identity, Adam.
I know it is. I'm not okay, KT.
Oh,
you
no.
asked me. I'm so clearly. Do 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 do.
There you go.
Yeah, it just wasn't vibrant enough. Do 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 do.
There you go.
Yes.
Do 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 do. You guys bongoing?
We're bongoing.
That's just for the listeners.
Oh, welcome, one and all, to Everwood Never Wouldn't. A podcast. That was paper.
By the people, for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Podcast. By the people, for the people. A podcast in which I, Adam Lauber, make my friends...
Eric.
KT.
Eric and KT.
We just said that.
Watch. But neither of you ever say the word and, so it just sounds like Eric, KT.
Eric yeah. and.
In okay. the future, I would request that you do that.
Okay. T.
Watch and discuss with me the first season of the hit early 2000s WB teen/family drama Everwood. Mm-hmm. Tonight's episode, we discuss season 1, episode 8, Till Death Do Us Part. In this episode, okay, as this episode was originally broadcast on the WB on November 4th, 2002. As his wedding anniversary draws near, Andy loses all hope and questions whether he will ever feel his life is worth living again.
Oh my goodness.
Great. That's a great A story. Good. Meanwhile, Ephraim and Amy share their first kiss while on a field trip, and Dr. Abbott has a panic attack. What? When his wife Rose proposes they take salsa dancing lessons.
He does not have a panic attack at all.
No,
he throws a hissy fit and
and tries to learn how to dance on his own.
And then gets embarrassed because the nurse sees him. All normal, normal brained reactions, not panic attack reactions.
I'm going to try to edit the entry on everyone.fandom.com. So Dr. Abbott as a hissy fit?
Yeah, I mean...
Throws a hissy fit?
Yeah, like he...
And Dr. Abbott...
He throws like a tantrum. He doesn't want to do it. He refuses to...
Throws a tantrum when his wife Rose proposes they take salsa dancing lessons. Save Paige.
Great.
There we go.
Fandom.
Save Paige. I was able to just do that anonymously.
It is definitely not a panic attack. Like that didn't make any sense.
Not at all.
Yeah. Weird. Unlike what I thought was happening with the Reverend, which is what, you know what I mean? Like I thought that was going to be the situation with mental health.
It's the same person who wrote that. The summary a couple episodes ago where Amy had a panic attack in the dressing room and they're like, I loved that sentence that I wrote in that review.
I just researched panic attacks, but I forgot everything about it from the differences between the episodes. Yeah. I don't know. That was definitely somebody who has never had a panic attack before, but
it's dumb.
It's very dumb.
Well, that was an episode. That was. Like, kind of just a bummer of an episode.
Yeah. My favorite part was Delia.
Delia had so little to do in this episode.
I know. I'm like, wait a second. Did I miss it?
Mm. There weren't any good Delia moments. Shut the fuck up, Eric.
Hey, she commented on how everybody has hats on.
Yeah.
I liked that.
Right.
Okay.
And, that was good writing.
Everyone else has hats on, and Andy's like, yeah, but do they have team names?
Because God knows the difference, okay? God does not like the baseball hats, but he likes the fancy ones.
This podcast brought to you by atheism.
And agnosticism.
And agnosticism. Mm. Okay, so let's get down to business. The top headline here, Wendell is back.
Yeah!
And have I noted before in any of his previous occurrences that he looks very strangely to me like Dana Carvey?
Oh, I can
he
see.
He does kind of look like Dana Carvey.
Even his mannerisms, I think, a little bit.
He looks like a character Dana Carvey would play. Yes.
Right?
Yes. He's not incredible. Yeah. He seems like an exaggerated character that Dana Carvey would play.
But
that's
also
a funny comparison.
Physically, like.
Yes,
he looks
absolutely.
Like he could totally be related to Dana.
I'm going to Dana Carvey to come on the podcast.
Future guest of
Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey.
So Wendell's back. He's there for Ephraim's storyline about the field trip. But let's start with
the computers. Oh, okay, sorry, go ahead.
Happy Sunday, Andy says to everyone around him, because he's talking too much about the program. And he's going through it, and then he says, Jesus Christ. And everyone looks at him, and he's all awkward and funny.
Yeah.
And he ends with Happy Sunday.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Yes. But what is he wearing? Wasn't that when he was wearing that god-awful outfit? Yeah, what the fuck?
All brown. Is he like on a safari?
Like
a khaki
yes!
blouse.
Thank you. Yes, a khaki blouse and khaki pants.
Pulled up very high.
Poor Treat Williams. He was not done well in that episode. But
that's
the funny thing is about
rich
the
people wear.
But it's like what wearing the same outfit all the time. They just want to wear the same color.
I don't know.
Pick anything. But the funny thing is, I was actually it's completely unrelated to the scene or anything. But as far as costume design, I was going to say I thought the costume design was fucking amazing for the scene where Ephraim and Girlface were sitting in the thing and they kissed.
Okay.
His white gym socks and his khaki pants. And his like black/brown, you know, like what are those kind of men's shoes that have the hard bottoms? It's more not fancy shoes.
I couldn't take my eyes off their mouths.
God damn it! No, but for real, it was so great high school costume design because I was like, oh my god, they put him in these awful white socks, like with these nicer shoes and the khaki pants, these white gym socks, and I'm like, oh, he's a teenager. Absolutely, he'd be wearing those white socks. So. Bad Andy outfit, but very good Ephraim outfit. I applaud the costume design there. Yes.
Shout out to Christina Phipps Johnson, the costume supervisor.
All right.
whose previous work had included Touched by an Angel, Promised Land. I'm seeing a theme here. Did a bunch of work on Everwood.
Dear God, it's me, Other God.
She also did High School Musical 2 and High School Musical 3.
Wow. Bringing in the big guns for the sequels. Wow.
And High School Musical, the series. It's her most recent credit is literally High School Musical : the musical - the series. And then parentheses, TV series.
What?
Is that a parody? Is that like Scary Movie 4 or something?
Oh, IMDb. It's incredible.
That's bizarre. All right.
Let's get on track here. Church. This podcast is going to be released someday. People are going to listen to this. So, Andy's church outfit, check.
Yep.
Oh, he's got that great line after Reverend Keyes scratches himself. He's all scratching and he runs out of the building. Mm-hmm. And Andy says, "Don't look at me. That wasn't in the program."
Yeah. And like, meanwhile, again, that harkens back to the first fucking episode where I was like, wow, this guy's a terrible doctor. Because he sees a guy scratching at himself and running out of the building. And he's like,
as the scratching started happening, I figured it was going to be a scene where he's going to like, I'm a doctor in the house.
He was overreacting. This poor guy. And I have to say, you said trigger warning for the religious stuff, but trigger warning, I literally just went to several different doctors and have multiple doctor's appointments in the future for breaking out in hives and welts and angioedema. Mm-hmm. So like,
It's a sign from God that we're supposed to be watching everyone.
I was freaked out by that. And then the doctor was just like, well, here's my best joke. I'm going to stand here for a while. I was like, what? Oh, he's dying.
Here's the thing, KT. If they hadn't had Andy give that line, who would have? Who could have?
Doctor, other guy. Other doctor
no,
guy.
No, wrong. Why would he be saying that to Delia?
He would have been saying it to anybody. Because it's definitely his kind of
line. It had to be Delia and it had to be Andy.
Someone wrote that line. Someone has to deliver it.
All right.
Also, I think it's a sign of progress, right? That Andy is not at right away. Like, I'm a doctor. I can save the day. Like, he's minding his own business.
Minding his own business when someone's having a horrible allergic reaction. He literally could have been going outside to anaphylaxis hitting his throat. And the doctor's like, what funny line I can come up with and tell my doctor.
To impress my 9-year-old daughter.
Like, how often is the head of a church going to run out of the service? That is a big deal.
I also want to know what happened after he left.
Yes.
I just want to see that scene.
Yes. Maybe he ran like screaming into a lake.
Yeah, like how long do people wait? And then when do they eventually just leave?
Probably somebody got up and was like, all right, let's have worship time.
Nobody checks on him. Not one person.
Nobody follows
after him. Oh my God. Oh, they're like, well, it's Sunday. We're at church. We got to stay here, right? That's what God would want. Wait.
If we he's go not going to just miss us, when do we get to leave? Well, that's a very good point that he's a doctor and yet he displays no care or concern for.
Because those are some bad hives, mm-hmm. I will fucking say. Those were nasty.
And they were around his head and throat and everything.
He was dying. Like, he looked like out of a zombie movie. Like, I'm telling you, that was not a good look.
That was intense.
Not a good look.
Reverend Keyes, played by Tim DeKay, who is in a great HBO series called Carnival. Mm. Tim DeKay played a great character in that show. Parker, edit out this silence and make it seem like I didn't have to look it up. Oh, wait, I don't have to look it up. His name is Jonesy, I think. His character's name in Carnival? Tim DeKay.
I don't know.
Never seen it.
He's Jonesy. Anyway, trust me, Jonesy's a great character in Carnival.
Okay.
And Tim DeKay plays him. And Tim DeKay, as Reverend Keyes, shows up later in the show, and his appearance, his second appearance in the show, is much, much better than the first appearance.
Oh, okay.
Because in this episode, he's just like the Reverend and he's getting a divorce. And that's well, whatever. But the next time he shows up.
Okay. Is that like he has no shirt on and he's hot? Like what's. That's what it sounded like, a tasty sound. Ooh, sexy Reverend. I'm confused. I don't know what's happening. Hope competition. Hope
competition. Hope contest. Hope sermon. This, we are no longer speaking sentences.
Nope. Nope.
What are your guys' thoughts about hope? And the storyline about hope.
Way to bring it around, Adam. Hear that, guys? That's a host for you.
Hope. Well, we've got Andy reading the newspaper at Mama Joy's, reading the coverage of the Hope competition. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? And he tells Dr. Abbott, I notice here that you're considered a long shot.
Yes, I love that. That was so funny. That was, and then he was happy and he was like, well, thank God.
Thank God.
That was great.
If I were, would he say he would euthanize himself?
Yes.
If he were chosen.
That was great. Oh, man.
Andy says, let's team up. We can help. Reverend Keyes,
yeah,
with this rash situation, you and I, we could pull an all-nighter. And Harold's like, no, I have dance classes with the wife.
Yeah.
He also at one point said, Harold's like, what respectable practitioner has 15 free hours on his hand? And Andy's like, I do. And then I said respectable, right? And so that's and if you look closely in the background of that shot, somebody is having a heart attack in the diner. So it's Harold's turn to just be like, oh, I gotta focus on what's a funny line here. Yep. I said respectable practitioner.
Oh my God.
And yes. Somebody died in the background.
Good. I'm glad that it's consistent at least. I do like, I will say, okay, so I hated it first when it was like, dance classes, this is stupid. And I don't know if I agree that character would hate dance classes. But beyond that, my favorite part was when also Andy said that his wife tried to do it. Because I was like, this is the dumbest fucking trope ever. Like, dumb thing about husbands never wanting to go to dance classes with their wives that make the dance classes happen. Yeah. It is annoying and boring and sexist and stupid.
It's one of those, are the straights okay moments?
Yes, like, yes.
Are you serious?
Exactly.
But remember, this is 2002 when dancing wasn't cool yet.
Oh, right. Groundbreaking. Well,
But I will say, no, like the fact that Andy also had it almost felt like it was
a little bit of a nod.
It was a nod, like it was aware of how stupid that thing was.
These
maybe.
Fucking idiots
sitting
at the bar commiserating just because they're bad husbands.
There are no safe havens anymore. Macallan 12, neat.
Another Scotchman. More in common than I thought.
Make it a gin and tonic, Marty.
Thought you had a dance class.
Why do you remember that?
Because the image of you merengueing is hard to forget. I take it you decided not to go.
Rose knew I wouldn't. She signed us up just to make a point.
What kind of point?
Oh, who knows that I'm boring or stodgy or she's the fun one. I know you wouldn't think she'd have to struggle to make that point, nevertheless.
My wife signed me up for one of those once. I think it was a ballroom dancing class.
And?
I didn't go either. Yeah. I worked on Christmas. I worked on New Year's. I worked on Thanksgiving. I was even working when Ephraim was born. The only time Julie and I were ever alone was the 1 week a year we spent our anniversary together.
You had a difficult schedule to keep.
I was an idiot. You ever been to Florence?
Not yet. It is on my list.
It's amazing. Julie and I spent our honeymoon there. You should go. You should take Rose to Florence. Bet she'd love it.
Yes. Well, maybe next summer.
You can run out of those, you know.
Run out of what?
Next summer's. I know you think I left my sanity back in New York, Harold.
Perhaps you should go back and locate it.
But I can tell you this much. If you're lucky enough to meet the right woman, and she's stupid enough to fall in love with you, you hang on to her like a son of a bitch.
Oh, do you know what would have been amazing? If somehow they could have written it so that also, what's-her-face, Dr. Abbott's mother had the same thing about Irv or
and
something.
And Irv wanted to do... That would have been so great. Oh, you should go right forever, Wood.
I should. Bye, guys.
Get on a bus right now.
It's a three-hour drive.
I'm going to Everwood. I'm going to go to Everwood to write for the show.
Dearborn Street, here I come.
Yes, we do learn the Browns' address, 2179 Dearborn Street.
How many times have you typed that into Google Maps, Adam?
Aww.
It's been a while.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Okay.
Maybe he didn't answer the question, though, guys. Just note that.
We find out that address because it is so Andy's anniversary with his dead wife is coming up. It's that is kind of the heart of this episode, that storyline. It's very nice when we kind of learn about that, and Ephraim offers like
very
to not
sweet.
Go on the field trip. Yeah. He's like, you know, I can stay home. Like,
but he's aware of the anniversary. Yeah.
He's not a shit at all in this episode.
It is nice seeing him like try to be a good son. And then Andy receives a phone call about some plane tickets that Julia
that was so
had
sad.
Bought. Very sad. Yeah.
Now, do you think, so when he...
I thought you were gonna say a joke. Do you think, and then say something horrible? All right, go ahead.
Do you think that woman at the travel?
Okay, joke. We're gonna eat video, boo. Ignore Adam. We gotta keep going. He's not dead yet.
Is there a doctor in the house?
Travel agency, more like.
Unravel your life agency.
Yep.
Oh, good, he spit it out. Oh, he didn't die. Oh, good. That must have been
even,
what happened.
That wasn't funny, though. Your joke wasn't funny.
Yeah, we can't do this, okay? Why are you
hiring us? I was trying to say
something
serious. Guys, I don't take any notes while we watch, so the things that I remember are few and far between.
What were you going to say, Eric?
So he's on the phone with this clueless person. Mm-hmm. Doesn't know his wife died. Yeah. She wasn't even there when she booked the tickets. Bruce was.
Yeah.
That seems extraneous, but anyway, when he decides not to say that she died, was that for her sake or for his?
Both. He doesn't want to deal with it. I know, like, when you have to explain that someone is dead, it gets old. Gets really old. I had to deal with that because, like, it's always this fucking podcast is always me talking about when my dad died.
It's funny what I actually thought of it. It has to do with your dad, but it was the stories you told me about his mother dying.
Yes, that's true. But, like, I would be in the grocery store because my dad was a coach and a teacher. Mm-hmm. So, like, a million people knew him as this big, strong guy. So, whenever someone would be like, "How's your dad?" And they had just had no idea what happened. It'd be years later. And it would just be like, God damn it. Now I have to stand here and talk to somebody. You don't want to have to do it, especially with some person on the phone.
Did you ever lie to somebody?
No, I don't think so. No.
That'd be too weird, I guess.
It would be weird, you'd like, to not so acknowledge shitty. That my dad was
right.
dead. Yeah.
To them and to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially
because... He's fine. We're in Colorado now.
I wish I had that to say, but I didn't.
Let me give you my address.
Yeah. I liked that moment because I was... Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very sad, but I thought it was very... appropriate. It's true. You just don't want to have to say that shit anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
While we're talking about Andy, I do think this is a great episode for Treat Williams.
His
monologue later in the church. And really, I mean, and we'll get to that, I guess, chronologically, probably. But I do want to say a lot of great silences in this episode. especially with Andy. Like,
yeah,
that is one thing that I don't think a lot of network TV was doing at the time, which was just letting there be extended silences during like emotional sequences. I feel like the show does that pretty well.
Do you know what's really good at that? And this is going to sound like a joke, but it's actually true. And it's something I love about the show. Samurai Jack.
You love Samurai Jack.
Samurai Jack did good silences.
The, like some of the episodes were like 90% silence. Yeah. It was crazy. That might be an exaggeration, but maybe not. I don't know.
I think I remember it being, you know it better than me, but yeah, I know. Yeah.
Anyway, what was I going to say? I was going to say, you're talking about different, I guess this is cutting ahead, jumping ahead in the storyline, but in terms of him having a good episode, one thing, and it's less him and more the writing, is when he goes back to the Reverend and the wife after he figures out what the allergy is.
Yeah.
It's the chicken.
Excuse me?
Is your wife here? I just need 5 minutes.
Now's not a good time.
Who's at the door?
Mrs. Keys, the chicken you've been eating, is it factory raised or free range?
Are you drunk? You smell like liquor, doctor.
Listen to me. Factory raised chicken is pumped with antibiotics. That's the same family of drugs that you're allergic to, Reverend. Your wife has been eating an inordinate amount of chicken. She's got so much of that stuff in her bloodstream that that's what's causing you to react. That's what's causing your hives. And why don't you seem as happy about this as I am?
We've decided to get a divorce.
A divorce? No, no, no. This is curable, don't you understand?
I appreciate your help, but I'm afraid our problems have become bigger than a simple case of hives.
Simple? Miss Marple couldn't have solved this case. This took work. And so does marriage. You both know that. You can't give up now.
This is something we should have done a long time ago. You just helped us figure it out.
I helped? No, this is a mistake. Reverend, what about your sermon? What about hope?
I have to finish back.
Listen. Don't make this decision today. Please. Not tonight.
What difference does it make, today or tomorrow?
It makes a difference. Just not tonight.
I'm sorry. Good night, Dr. Brown.
And generally, it's a good scene, but like I feel like they shouldn't have put in the line, not tonight. I feel like that was too heavy-handed a little bit. Don't get a divorce tonight, please. I don't know. I guess he was a little drunk, maybe.
I think it worked.
I don't know how I feel. I don't even know if I really noticed that line. I think Treat Williams' acting in this episode is the best it has been the whole show. And that moment was really sad because he was obviously desperate to save this marriage because his is gone. Mm-hmm. And it was really sad. So I don't think I even noticed that line. I don't remember that line.
I think it would have been better if he'd been like, don't make this decision tonight, not on my anniversary. My wife died.
Yeah, yes.
I'm really sad.
Yeah.
Don't do it tonight, not on my anniversary. If he said it again. Like,
are you going to Everwood to write now? Please, guys, get together. We'll take the first plane to Everwood.
Okay, you and me, Eric.
Right,
okay.
It's just me on the podcast now. I don't know what happens next.
So Andy's trying to help the Keyses. The Keys. There's the really awkward scene where he's like poking the Reverend's back.
Uh-huh.
Like he and his wife have that like just like big argument right in front of Andy.
Yep.
And Andy's like, awkward.
You know what's more awkward? The fucking way that lady acted her way through every scene. It was like she was the biggest, horniest dog I've ever fucking seen in my life. Everything was like, feel? Do you feel that? Do you ever feel that way? Feel. Like everything she said. And it, like, oh my goodness. It was so bizarre.
It's all the chicken.
Like, I know it ended up being chicken, but that was what I thought, honestly, at the beginning when it was like, oh, it's this relationship thing. She was so made up and so like that I thought it was just going to be him like being like, oh, it's not okay, because I thought it was going to be like mental health issues, like about sex and religion or something, because she seemed like, I'm going to take charge, flirt with everybody I've ever seen. And then he was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know. And then it was just chicken. So that was kind of weird. but she was too sexy.
I think she's super horny actor. So future guest of the podcast, Melinda Clark, I am available. Technically, I'm not. I guess technically Jerome.
Yeah, you better not say that. Mm-hmm. Hello.
But okay, I am hereby. Next time I talk to Jerome, I'm telling him that Melinda Clark is on my hall pass list.
Okay. Ooh.
That seems like a bit of a waste of an entry. I think so too. But you're committed. As I noted while we watched it, I recognize her from the TV show The OC.
Oh, I don't know.
And she was a terrible, evil person in that show.
Oh, really?
California. California.
Never watched it.
Here we go. Yep.
California.
I have no idea what's going on.
That's a new song.
Okay. So. Also really sad when Ephraim gets stuck on this field trip and he can't make it to dinner. We see like 5 minutes of Andy just cleaning up the food he was cooking.
Yeah.
Well, to be clear, he just cleaned up the peels. He didn't throw away good food.
But there was just a bunch of peeled stuff on the counter. Actually, I think there was a disproportionate number of peels compared to what was actually peeled on the counter, by the way. No, because the potato wasn't even fully peeled. Did you notice that? You guys.
Too many peels.
There's too many peels.
Peel gate.
All right. Ian Roylance, this is not the first time we're calling you out, Mr. Property Master and Assistant Property Master Michelle Fairbank. Somebody... up with the
you know what? Maybe it's not them. Maybe Treat Williams really likes to eat raw potatoes in between takes, and they kept trying to replace the potatoes, but he kept fucking eating them. God damn it,
Treat, can you please eat some peels some of these takes?
Treat Williams, when the camera's not rolling, is just like, Treat, Walt, Treat. What do you want, Mr. Williams? Treat, Walt, potatoes. Actually, I'm looking at the list here. Food stylist, Leslie Smoot.
Wait, for real? Smoot.
Found our culprit, Leslie Smoot, food stylist.
Wait, are you joking? Is that really a title?
Food? That's a credit. Food stylist, Leslie Smoot.
Food stylist.
I think that's the only food in this episode.
Find her Twitter, Leslie Smoot Twitter. Jessica Chastain. Why does that come up? Hmm. All right, this is a mystery. I'm going to get to the bottom of this while we will. Oh, Leslie Smoot has 48 followers on Twitter. And the last time she tweeted was September 12th, 2011.
Uh-oh, she dead.
She couldn't handle the harassment of these potato peels. She killed
herself. In peace, Leslie Smoot. I hope your food styling at your funeral reception was better than your fucking potatoes.
This poor person. Potato. Leslie Smoot.
Now you're looking it up.
I'm looking Leslie Smoot up.
Okay, so what else we got here? I do really like the bar scene between Harold and Andy. Any Harold and Andy scene already got so much going for it.
Yeah.
Harold changes his drink order when Andy's like, oh, you're a Scotchman too? He's like, oh.
I feel like the timing of that, the bartender had already poured like half of that scotch, by the way.
Yeah, and Harold doesn't care. No. It's like, I'm not paying for that.
Yeah.
What else? What else? What else? Oh, good silences. Church scene. I've lost my joy.
Just over 8 months ago. That was the last time I knew life was worth living. All my dreams died with Julia. I wake up every morning and I wish I was still asleep. See, the thing is, my heart's still pumping, I'm still breathing, I still move in the world, but I've lost my joy. We don't talk a lot. I don't complain to you. I don't ask for favors. I don't whine about fairness. And I never believed that you owed me anything. But I am telling you right now, I have got nothing left. I used to have a gift. Now everything I touch, everyone I touch is just as broken as I am. I got two kids who need a mother and a father. And these days I'm not much good to anyone, let alone them. I thought I knew what you needed from me. I thought I knew what my life was about. I don't know anything. You gotta help me. Please. Please give me my joy back.
That was
Please
sad.
Give me my joy back. It sounds like I'm mocking it, but I'm not. It was very good.
It was very sad. That was a sad, yeah, empathetic moment.
And we're all like, you're not going to get anything from doing that, Treat.
Poor Treat. I'm going to just call him Treat.
Treat.
Treat want potato treat.
Dr. Abbott's wife was too nice to him.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
No, it was nice. I like when Dr. Abbott gets to be nice to Dr. Brown.
No. Sorry. Dr. Abbott's wife was too nice to Dr. Abbott.
Yeah. Oh. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, like, the thing is, it's fine to acknowledge that you're scared, but you also got to make a little change, I think. I think the effort needs to be there, Dr. Abbott. Come on, Dr. Abbott.
I think that's going to happen off camera.
All right.
Fine.
I like Rose's. Well, it's very sweet. My affection for you will always outweigh my frustration with you.
I am late for work, Harold. I have a planning committee meeting this morning. Don't forget to pick up milk and paper towels tonight.
Please, Rose, just for a minute. Planning committee away, especially considering it's just you and Jean Snoddy.
What is it, Harold?
I just wanted to say what I should have said last night. I am sorry for being such a jerk about the dance class.
No, you're not. You just don't want me mad at you any longer because it's uncomfortable for you.
That is not true.
Every time I try to think of something new for us to see or do, you just poo-poo it like I'd suggested we go to a key party and become swingers.
I'm not that bad.
You are that bad.
I'm scared. I don't want to change. I don't want you to change. I like things the way they are.
Everyone changes. We can change together.
That's not always the case. Look at the keys. She went one way, he went another. Now where's either one of them?
We are not the keys, Harold.
Well, I'm sure even the keys didn't think they were the keys until they were. You think, I don't know, this whole town says I'm just a big stick in the mud, you're the best thing that ever happened to me, Rose? Well, the fact is, they're right. Just keep waiting for you to wake up one day and agree with them.
Listen, quick. Because after your behavior this week, Harold, you do not deserve to hear what I'm about to say. And I'm not likely to repeat myself. My affection for you will always outweigh my frustration with you. Despite your asinine comments and your insane shenanigans, I grow more in love with you yearly. Because you're my stick in the mud.
Words are a poor substitute for actions where love is concerned. My love for you, Rose, is immeasurable. You make sense of my silly little life.
And you're my stick in the mud.
It's yeah. Very sweet.
Mm-hmm. In the rest of this season, does Andy just try to get everybody to go to Florence? Everybody
yeah,
he meets?
He becomes a travel agent.
Whoa!
A free one.
Yeah.
I love at the end when I love all the reactions by the congregation.
Yes.
It's so good. So first of all, Dr. Abbott. Oh, I guess he knows about the Keyses getting divorced because he knows about the allergy situation, I guess. Anyway,
But I mean, the doctors are kind of being friends, you guys. Yeah. Guys, they had fucking lunch or breakfast together or whatever that was. They're friends now.
They're hanging out. Mama Joy's. So sweet.
He tells him.
But then in church, when Dr. Keys is like, I lost my marriage, and everyone's like,
yes. I like that
they're all like, our Catholic priest was married? We still don't know what denomination he is.
That was so confusing. Like, I guess I don't know enough about religion, but the churches that I grew up in, which were Episcopalian and Methodist, nobody wore a collar like that. I thought that was only Catholic.
I think Episcopalians have.
Anglican, Methodist, Presbyterian, and Lutheran traditions wear collars.
I never had seen a collar. Episcopalians
don't?
I don't know.
Anglican?
What are you? What did you grow up in?
I attended a fucking Assemblies of God church, which
I don't know what that is.
It's like Pentecostal or some shit.
Those are the ones that have like guitars, right?
Those are the ones who put their arms in the air and speak in tongues.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Woo.
Those are weird. Sorry,
listen, they all are. They all are.
Yeah.
Humans are weird. Religion is weird.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it now.
Did you ever do it? Did you ever do it when you were there?
No, I never did it. I never got the gift.
Okay.
Tongues.
Adam, I bet you'd be really good at the gift of tongues. Well, yes, I meant both ways.
Oh, no, because my best impression of speaking in tongues is la 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 blah 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 blah.
If you had to, you would totally be able to do it. Duh.
I'd probably just be like, Hare Krishna.
Yes. That's what it is, isn't it? Isn't that speaking in tongues? Yeah.
So church stuff is fun afterwards.
Wait, can we also fucking mention the fact that they had the external shot of the people running into church? Running!
That was the funniest thing ever. That was hilarious.
While we were watching, Eric was like, run, 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 we're gonna miss the hope service. Yeah.
That was so great.
Oh, incredible. When they find out they're all going to Mama Joy's, Andy's like, oh, we can share a table. And Dr. Abbott's like, oh, why not?
Mm-hmm.
He's trying new things.
No, he's probably like, so then my wife won't try to talk to me and she can talk to somebody else and I'm off the hook.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about Amy.
All right.
How about the Amy of it all? You know? We got to see her dad dance, but we also got to see her emotions dance.
Did you write that 10 days ago in preparation for this episode?
Yeah, that's okay, what I did. We get that fake out scene where we think Colin is awake.
But I was like, this whole time.
The writing of that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I was like, nobody told me.
Oh.
Right, you're awake. Oh. I was like, this is the worst show ever if this is real. Yeah. That's what was in my head.
I was ready to rip it a new one.
Yeah.
Of course it wasn't real. Everyone wouldn't do that to you guys.
You're right.
Oh, I forgot a note from the Keys storyline. I like when Sally Keys, the wife, says that they went to see Dr. Trot.
Oh, Dr. Trot! How was that? That's my impression of
Andy's. Andy's reaction was like, ooh! Trot! How did that go? Give me all the details. she said our emotional paths had diverged. I don't know what that meant.
Oh my God.
But I know it's not good.
Yeah.
Poor woman. Like, oh my goodness.
You really don't know what it means for your emotional
path. Three words. You can look them up if you need to.
But at the end of the episode, then when she does go to see Dr. Brown, she explains it perfectly.
Right. Yep.
Changed. Mm-hmm. The things we wanted changed, and now that's it. Like,
and why did she go see Dr. Brown? Like, why did that happen? Oh, yeah, we forgot to talk about that. That was so bizarre.
It's kind of strange. She just shows up. They talk kind of casually, and she's like, "Well, bye."
Yeah, she's I mean, she said, "I'm heading out of town. I need to talk."
She said she didn't want him to feel like it was his fault. Yeah. But like, would she really care that much? No.
No, she would not.
She's just like, I heard this guy's got plane tickets. I want them.
Yeah. I almost feel like with that one line with the emotional paths, are they setting her up as somebody who, because this happens, somebody who's just not that smart, who marries somebody because they think it's right. And if she's saying that she was kind of dumpy looking, maybe like homely or whatever. And
she lost the whole 35 pounds, guys.
Well, but she was saying that. And yeah. Then, so if she improved herself, maybe she's still not that smart, but maybe she went and she looked it up. And then when she came to Andy and she was like, listen, now I do know what it's about. Bye. I don't know. I'm helping you.
All right, Katie, you are officially hired. The three of us are going to go right for Everwood.
Yay!
Yes. Adam's on a plane. I'm on a bus. What are you taking?
Train.
Okay.
It's the most romantic way to get there. Don't you think? Mm-hmm. Taking a train into Everwood.
That's what happened. That's how Julia Brown.
You realize there's no train station there anymore. You're going to run right into the doctor's office.
Good. He's the worst character. No, I'm just kidding.
About the keys, too. I wanted to mention this before, and then we got distracted. Did the pricks that he was doing, did those seem like gaping wounds on his back?
Yes, they
to
definitely
you guys?
Did not know how to do a
yeah, Andy's
test.
Never done that before in his life.
He's like gouging him. Guys, get the allergen in there.
No, I can do this. I feel really bad because during the service, I could tell you were really upset, but I couldn't help because I had to make a funny line to my daughter.
Yeah.
So this is the least I can do is just let me handle whatever this is.
Have you done this before? Oh, God.
I've stuck a lot of knives into people's brains.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, those were weird.
Yes, they were weird.
Amy gets a prank phone call on the field trip to the mine.
Oh, that was fucking terrible. Fucking I hope that kid gets fucking kicked out of school. Fuck that kid.
Yep.
Okay, but the best thing that kid said to Ephraim as Ephraim like went after him, that kid said, "Who are you?
The coma police?"
What an idiot. That's so silly.
That's like, oh, first of all, no, I'm the karma police. I'm reading this song.
I appreciate that they threw in Ephraim's line of, "Haven't you lost anybody before?" I thought that was nice.
Yeah, Ephraim.
Also, the teacher, the threat that she gave them was kind of weird. You have to take this class again. Like, what? No, that's not what happens if you fight in school.
In high school. Yeah.
You have to take the class again.
We get it finally, we've all been waiting for in this show.
Finally.
The first kiss between Ephraim. Do you think that I'm trying to remember if people called if shippers of Ephraim and Amy called them Ephraim. They probably didn't because that's stupid, right?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it works.
Ephraim.
This podcast hates Sam Raimi.
This is I'm on top of my fucking game right now. That's mm-hmm. what's happening.
Yeah.
What did we miss? We missed that effort. So they kissed. That's great. Mm. Kind of a weird time to kiss the girl you have a crush on after your father has successfully operated on her comatose boyfriend.
Yeah.
But okay. Network television's gonna have drama.
Some nice music in that scene.
I don't remember the music.
It was just very...
Was it bongos? Yeah. I hope so. Bongos. That was so funny, though, at the end. That little...
The way that the music
light,
came
they
in.
They came in, the bongos.
At the moment when I was without reason, when I no longer could find meaning of my own, I came here to this church. I believed, as I have in other moments of need, that I would find God here. I did not. What I found inside this church was a man, more dispirited than myself, crying out to our Lord and seeking comfort and receiving none. I say to this man today, I cannot fix your broken heart. I cannot mend your weakened spirit. What I can do is pour the love of this community into your wound as your own faith was a healing salve unto my own. Each year I select a member of this community who represents the value of hope. This year I would like to single out a man who is most deserving of our own, of this community's light and life. That man is Dr. Andrew Brown. There are two states in this life, love and a call for love. It is the latter which is most requiring of bravery. Come together as a community and help this courageous man find what he came here to seek. Peace, joy, hope.
They came in, the bongos. Like, so quiet at first. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. What's happening? It was awesome and amazing.
And then there was a shot of Irv and Edna were the ones playing the bongos in the church. They didn't have any lines all episode, but at the end they were playing bongos in the church. Mm-hmm. That's not true, listeners.
No.
Hopefully, listeners, I hope you are watching.
Yeah, please do.
Everyone along with listening to the
yeah
podcast. Yeah,
that would be really dumb if you didn't.
Why are you listening if you don't?
What a waste of your time. More of your time by watching the episode first and then listening to us.
It's not a waste of time. I never
great show, guys.
It is great
so far. I really am enjoying it. Yes.
Yeah,
I mean, this was no episode 6, but go on.
That's true.
No episode 6. That's true. So Ephraim got a doctor's bag, a real doctor's bag for Andy, which was very nice. That was a conversation that they had, I think, in the second episode or something.
Very early.
Because Andy had that backpack.
Yeah.
They were like, you need something more
doctory. That bag would have been so expensive. Uh-huh. So they are fucking rich.
Yeah, they are.
And that kid's like, you know what? I'm just going to drop like $400 on this bag.
They found it in like a thrift store.
You say they. It's him. Delia didn't have no part of this.
He tried. It was Delia's idea. But then she comes in, she's like, Dad, what's that?
I know. As if a kid that age would even notice the bag on the counter. I am not kidding.
Well,
that
she
kid
might.
Would
she's
not.
Precocious.
Ooh. Oh, whatever. No kid would notice.
A gift from whom? I don't know, Delia. I want potato treats.
Did you, KT, did you guess what was in that bag? The gift? What the gift was?
No, I didn't. Actually, okay. I thought it was going to be maybe like a photo with all of them, like, or a bunch of photos, like a collage with like the mom and the kids, just because they had been talking so much about the mom. That's what I thought it was going to be.
I couldn't guess.
I thought it was going to be the mother's head.
Oh, duh.
What's in the bag? What's in the gift bag?
Hey, we still don't know what's in the doctor's bag. It could be the head. Adam, why'd you spoil it?
I didn't open that. Sorry, I forgot. That was it. Is revealed several episodes later.
Till death do us body part.
It's every episode, there's like one or two lines of like Delia being like, what's that smell? Like, I don't know. And then several episodes later, Andy looks in the bag. And
oh my goodness.
Julia's head. Mm-hmm. And he has a whole conversation with her. You said you'd be here.
Oh my God.
I'm in such a weird mood right now.
I just watched Everwood.
So Colin is awake, but he looks fucking dead in the eyes. And Amy goes in and she's like, I'm your girlfriend. And he's like, silent.
Yep.
And then she has to learn from the nurse.
Yes.
That memory loss is possible and he might not recognize her.
Is possible. That's the fun. Like, what the
hell? If only she knew someone who had some sort of medical expertise that would have any sort of.
Somebody who might have walked her there and was already just outside telling her, like.
And maybe took a 3-hour car ride to get there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Nonsensical.
Or maybe lived with her for the past 4 months.
Because, like, they could have even done that scene even if they had shown that they had prepared her for that. Listen, he might not recognize you. There might be memory loss.
She's hopeful,
and she still
obviously
could have had a reaction. The same reaction would have been completely valid.
Yes. Yeah,
because that's horrible.
To make it seem like the nurse is the first person
who's
that is a failing of the writing.
Like, yeah, and also that the nurse wasn't like, oh my God, honey, nobody told you?
Yeah.
He might have memory problems.
Right.
Like, she was just like, hey, duh, nobody
I mean, has. You might have to start from scratch.
Right. Oh my goodness.
Bye.
Oh. Jeez.
Oh man. Well, yeah. That's all my notes.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts lingering? No Bright this episode. That's good.
No, he
yes!
likes football or practicing for football or something, right? Didn't she mention him or something? Wait.
I don't know.
Didn't Ephraim ask him? Maybe I missed the first part of it. I thought I gathered it from context. Didn't Ephraim ask Amy where Bright was when he wasn't at the Hope?
Service. I didn't catch that.
And
I
then she was like, he's practicing football. He doesn't like much like church. And he's like, oh, finally, something we have in common. Wasn't she talking about Bright?
Oh.
Yes, she must have been. Because his line about, oh, something we have in common wouldn't have made like sense if it
for
was about
else.
Yeah.
We were, I think we were still doing bongo stuff.
Yeah, we were a little distracted with our bongo playing. Yeah.
So I think that's what they were talking about. He's practicing football on a Sunday.
Well, all right. Do we have any thing for a prattling on?
Well, he's not in
it. Prattling on with Casey. Bright wasn't in this Abby.
Which made it so much better because Chris Pratt is the worst.
This was prattling on with Katie.
Even though Bright wasn't in the Epi.
Pen. The Reverend needs one.
It's true.
Isn't there something kind of freeing about the fact that nobody's ever going to hear this?
Yes.
like Parker, I'm sure, like didn't even get past like the first episode in terms
Parker
of
Parker has already published it. Didn't you guys see? Look,
mm-hmm. we have 4,000 listeners.
Yeah, 4,000 listeners.
All right, let's rate this episode.
Oh shit!
In anticipation, I would say, you know what? Like originally, for like 5 seconds, my anticipation was a 5 because Reverend Keyes is like one of my favorite guest characters in the show.
Ooh, that's exciting to hear.
But then I remembered that like, oh, but his first episode isn't like the stuff that I love.
Mm-hmm.
So then it became more of like a 4 or 4.5.
Okay.
But during, I mean, depressing kind of episode, but definitely I really liked the stuff with Andy, and the anniversary. That's like, just really, I don't know. I enjoy watching Treat Williams act in this episode. So I'd say a 5 during and a 5 after, because it's Everwood and I love Everwood.
All right, I'm going to say a 5 before.
Okay.
Because I just wanted to know, I mean, till death do us part, like, sounded pretty spooky. Right?
Spooky? Did you say spooky? It was a spooky episode.
And then a 5 during. I liked it was nice to see some of the evolution of the Treat and Ephraim relationship, as well as the Treat.
Yeah, you can't help
the
but
Andy
call
Brown
Treat.
And his Ephraim Brown relationship, as well as the doctor's relationship.
Yeah.
I thought that was nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say something else, but I don't remember. And then a 5 afterwards! Because it's Everwood, never wouldn't.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess I will also say, I think I was at a 5, but I don't know. It might have been going down to a 4 because
I was so pumped right before we started.
I just really loved that one episode. And then
episode 6.
Yeah. And then the episode after like didn't do it for me as much. And so I was like, is it ever going to be as good as that episode? So it was kind of like, but then during it, I would say, well, I shouldn't say but, because I would say 4. I would say a solid 4, because again, yes, Treat Williams is the one that saved this. I think that he It was my favorite acting I have seen the whole show. And yes, I definitely liked his interactions with Dr. Abbott. But there was like such a weird shit with that lady, the reverend's wife. I'm sorry. It was so weird. Like, it was throwing me off. I really thought there was going to be something to do with like the horniness there. She lifted her skirt up at one point. You guys, you don't remember this?
Thighs. No, she was like,
yes.
For the first time, I don't feel my thighs rubbing up against
her. She lifted her skirt up. Yes. Yeah. I thought she was going to be flirting with Andy. I thought there was going to be more there. So that kind of confused me, but I'll still say solid 4 because of Treat Williams. And then definitely 5 in anticipation of next, because I, first of all, I'm excited about.
Wait, but what's your retrospective?
Oh, shoot. What? What did
I know? After the fact. So going into it was like a 5 into a 4. Because you're like, it's not going to be as good as 6. And then during it was like a 4, right?
Yeah.
So, but now that we've gotten a chance to talk about it, your rating is 5, right?
No.
Never wouldn't.
Never would right now. But whoa. 5 for so the next wait, one. So well, that's not never next time. Would. Dang.
You still haven't rated it. What is... what is it? 4? A 4?
4 is four, the four, middle four? One. No. 5, 4, 5. I just said, didn't I? I was trying to say the last one, which is that I'm definitely a 5 heading into the next
that's
one.
That's not what the last rating is.
Oh, it's not?
No, that's the anticipation. That's the first stars for the next one.
Oh, okay. So,
it's the retrospective now that we've talked about it.
I can't give this a 5. I can't give this one a 5. I can't, because it's not as good as the one that actually got a 5, which was that other episode. I just can't. I can't give this one a 5.
I love that you have such like a... you. This is so you.
Oh, yeah?
You have like such like a principled like feeling about these ratings.
Sorry, but if I give them all 5s, then it doesn't make any sense. That one with the trans or potentially just gender kind of confusion.
I have to honor the ratings.
It was so good. Yeah. I really enjoyed great. That one and all the humorous stuff. It was worthy of 5s across the board. This one was not. It was not. I'm glad that I'm principled. You can throw your ratings around willy-nilly, and I will keep this rating system in my heart, and I will protect it.
Major Harold Abbott vibes right there. Good.
My stick in the mud.
Oh,
it's true.
Oh, I'm going to cry. Okay. Next episode. Okay, first of all, tonight's episode has been brought to you by Tyson Chicken.
Oh.
Full of antibiotics.
Woohoo!
Next week's episode is called Turf Wars.
Ooh.
What do you think Turf Wars is about? Give me your predictions now.
Well, I would think that it was about the doctors, but that's already been
played out.
But like, maybe there happens something that would make them butt heads
again.
Maybe
we're going to learn something, some new Everwood characters.
I hope
town of Everwood weirdos.
Very exciting.
The two car dealerships who, or the two paper boys who... Man. Used to ride over the kissing bridge, and now they have to take different routes, and they're getting in each other's way.
I hope it's not to do with Coma Kid and girlfriend and Ephraim, because she is not a turf. She is a person, and that is not a turf. So I hope that is not a thing, that they're trying to label her as Turf Wars.
I'd like to turf her wars.
Do you think she is a turf?
I don't know what you mean. No, I hope not.
Oh, she's... Yeah, wait. It's T-E-R-F.
Turf wars! All right, well, who's the other turf then?
Irv.
Irv wars.
Turf wars.
Irv's like, I don't believe in... Casually, he's just like, I don't believe in transgenderism.
Right at the beginning, in a voiceover.
Yeah, yep.
And then it's not acknowledged.
Oh my god!
A lot of people in America seem to think gender is anything you want it to be.
Oh my god!
They never would. Men are still men, and women are still women.
Oh my god! Oh my god. It's like a huge villain turn. I love it. Like Irv that we love this whole time ends up being this villain that the show has to battle. I am excited. Turf Wars. Now I'm going to have to think about this even more.
Irv is actually his middle name. His first initial is T.
It's Turf.
Oh, man. T-Irv. All right. Well, all right. that is it for this episode of Everwood Never Wouldn't.
All right. Bongo our way out.
Thanks for joining us. You guys bongo. I'll do the theme song.
Getting hives.